From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to America's most listened to late night talk show, Coast to Coast AM. If you missed my announcement yesterday, Art will be on Sunday night here on Coast to Coast. Well, now here's a strange one. The John Teeter traveling story, time traveler, just gets weirder and weirder. We found the attorney for the family, for the John Teeter family, of the alleged time traveler. Now, we're going to have a little bit more on that later this hour. I'll tell you a little bit about that. But he, in essence, said that he will consent to an interview in about 2 weeks. The family has asked him to hold off for a little bit because of a movie that is being done on the life of John Teeter, the alleged time traveler. And Larry Haber, the attorney, says, I'll talk with you about John. So, I'm looking forward to that. Next hour, by the way, magic, and that is spelled M-A-J-I-C, eyes only. Earth's encounter with extraterrestrial technology with a special guest, Ryan Wood, here on Coast to Coast. Now, no sooner than did we talk with Alex Jones last night about strange things happening, the fact that we hadn't heard from Osama bin Laden in well over a year, all of a sudden, the world hears from him this morning. Al-Qaeda apparently is preparing attacks in the United States, but the terror group is offering a conditional truce to help rebuild Iraq and Afghanistan. It's a strange story. Osama bin Laden has said this in excerpts of an audio tape aired Thursday on Al Jazeera. Now, I have had the opportunity to read the entire transcript, which was translated from Arabic into English by the Associated Press. Now, the CIA says that the tape is authentic. An FBI spokesperson says, we're just not 100% sure yet. No matter what bin Laden may be offering, the White House officials are saying the United States will remain firm in its fight against terror. No deals with him. U.S. counterterror officials say they have seen no specific or credible intelligence or noticed any increase in chatter that would indicate an upcoming al-Qaeda attack on this country, and they are saying that there is no current plans to raise the country's terror alert threat. The voice on the tape said heightened security measures in the United States are not the reason that there have been no attacks here since 9/11. But it went on to say that because there are operations that need preparations, and you will see them soon. Now, I say this is a strange story, because, first of all, a number of people around this country continue to think that Osama bin Laden is dead. As a matter of fact, former Justice Department prosecutor John Loftus, who appears on many national cable outlets and news programs, believes that bin Laden died in Iran 2 months ago. And he also believes the leader of Iran now is in Syria and trying to work on getting some nuclear tests going for Iran. So this is a weird story there. Psychic Sean David Morton has said over the years on this program that he believes that Osama bin Laden is dead. And Sylvia Brown, who has been taking it on the chin lately for her predictions on those coal miners in West Virginia, well, she said this about a year or so ago.
Predictions
could be conceived as dead. And I really do think Osama's dead, too.
That was it, short and sweet. So she still believes Osama bin Laden is dead as well. Nonetheless, he resurrects in a tape, and he had not been heard of since December of 2004. And we're going to get back and talk a little bit more about Osama bin Laden in just a moment. France says that it would be ready to use nuclear weapons against any state that carried out a terrorist attack against it, reaffirming the need for its nuclear deterrent. Deflecting criticism of France's costly nuclear arms program, President Jacques Chirac said that security came at a price and France must be able to hit back hard at a hostile state's centers of power and its capacity to act. So if you look at the puzzle, you look at what these leaders of various countries are beginning to say, put in context what Osama bin Laden has said today and some of these other things, you see what's beginning to unfold here. In the book called Disinformation, Richard Minter went on to say that he believes that al-Qaeda's back is broken. Today, he says, Osama bin Laden's tape message is the strangest evidence to emerge that the United States is winning the information war with al-Qaeda, and it's new proof that al-Qaeda's famed media unit is in tatters. He said it was not long ago that the propaganda arm of al-Qaeda could easily get videotapes onto Al Jazeera in hours, but the new tape played on Al Jazeera took upwards of 5 weeks to move from bin Laden to that network. He said, could al-Qaeda's network be fraying? The tape, by the way, he says, explodes the myth that bin Laden died in recent Pakistani earthquakes. This tape, he said, should caution analysts who repeatedly predict bin Laden's demise. In a moment, our guest will be Howard Bloom. Howard is an expert on the human mind, and we're going to talk with him about what this latest audio tape truly means. What's the hidden meaning behind it? Back with Howard Bloom in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Howard Bloom almost single-handedly carved out two new fields, paleopsychology and mass behavior. His next goal is to establish a field he calls omnology, and Bloom's cross-disciplinary theories trace crowd patterns from the precipitation of the first protons in the Big Bang to future trends in the life of humankind. I turn to Howard Bloom every once in a while when I really need him to get into the minds of someone, and in this particular case, Mr. Bloom, the mind of Osama bin Laden is a very big story tonight indeed. Welcome back, Howard.
Thanks, George.
This announcement today, does it show to us weakness of al-Qaeda, true peace that he wants, a truce, or is it a trick?
It is a trick. It shows the very opposite of the notion that Osama is in trouble and that we are winning. It shows the very opposite of that. And I'm saying this with such stress because Richard Metzger, who you just quoted, is a good friend of mine, and I can't understand for the life of me why he is saying what he's saying. The fact of the matter is that Osama, you know that I've collected virtually every speech that Osama has ever made.
Yes.
And I've spent years analyzing these things. And Osama has been saying something since 1996, and his credibility is on the line as much as the credibility of any of the psychics that you mentioned in your intro. And his prediction is very simple. He says, look, we knocked off the Soviets. The Soviets were one of the most powerful states on the face of the earth. Now we are going to do even worse to the Americans. And why are we going to be able to do even worse to the Americans? Because the Americans are lily-livered cowards. Because compared to the Russians, well, the Russians were brave compared to the Americans. We can wipe up the streets with the Americans. He says, we have been able to totally dispel the concept, the misnomer of superpowers. They are not super. We have been able to show that they are not super. And the Americans are the worst of the lot. He says, when tens of your soldiers were killed in minor battles and one American pilot was dragged in the streets of Mogadishu, you left the area carrying disappointment, humiliation, defeat, and you're dead with you. You have been disgraced by Allah, and you withdrew. And that is his attitude toward withdrawal. And that is his attitude toward all the polls that have been taken in the United States that show that so many people, including Republicans, want to withdraw from Iraq right now. He senses the fact that once again we are showing, demonstrating our cowardice. We are turning tail again. We are demonstrating that we can be beaten. And if we can be beaten in a small way, we can be beaten in a big way. And by beaten in a big way, I mean with attacks on the United States of America. But when you have an enemy who's in retreat, one of the things that all of the teachings of Islam, which have many, many, many teachings about war, teach you is that war is a psychological game. And you have to know when to harass the enemy. You have to know when to terrify the enemy. Ultimately, you always want to terrify the enemy. And you have to know when to divide the enemy. And all of the polls in the United States have been demonstrating that Americans want out, and that means the time to divide the enemy, the time to take advantage of that, is now. The time to get some people thinking that we could actually seriously make a truce with Osama bin Laden is now.
Because of some of the references of issues that have occurred over the past month or so, you have to assume, with the CIA saying this is an authentic tape, Osama bin Laden is alive.
Well, you know, there are strange things happening, and one of the strangest of all is the rapidity with which the CIA validated this tape. It's never taken a mere 12 hours to validate a tape before. It's taken 36 hours,
true,
48 hours. I'm not sure exactly what that means, George, because I can read Osama's mind a lot more clearly than I can read the mind of the CIA. But the fact of the matter is that nobody's going to quibble this time about whether or not this is an Osama bin Laden tape. And now that could be because Osama bin Laden has a very interesting game on his hands here. First of all, the guys who've been making war against him, the guy in the White House, and his cronies, the people at Halliburton, are people who are making tons of money off of this war. And Osama knows that. And Osama knows that you and I know that. And Osama knows that because you and I know it, we do not take our own leaders seriously on this war. We don't think there's really any reason for this war except to fatten the pockets of the people who are very close to George Bush.
He truly is, because you have read his entire text. I have too. And he is playing to the American people.
Exactly.
He has said some things, and I urge all of you, if you go to, for example, like Forbes.com, you'll be able to see the updated full text. And you should read it, because we only got snippets here in the American media, and you should see the full scope of the direction of what this methodical mind is up to, because he's playing a war game mentally with us, isn't he, Howard?
Absolutely. He is playing on the fact that we know that we are being fleeced in the process of making this war. And it's true that we're being fleeced. It's just that there's a legitimate reason to fight with Osama bin Laden.
Right.
And it's precisely the fact that he has been saying from the very beginning, they will turn tail and run. Once we landed in Iraq, the reason we were in Iraq no longer mattered. What mattered is this is a game in which we have to show we can persevere longer than he can persevere, or we will lose. Why? Because this war will never end. In the opinions of the Islamic leaders, like the founder of the Islamic Brotherhood, this is a war that will go on until the day of judgment. We think that this is a war we have the right to start, and we have the right to stop. We think that once we stop, everything will stop. We have to understand what a truce is to Osama. We have to understand what a truce is in 1400 years of Islamic military history. A truce is a temporary situation that you create in order to strengthen your own forces so that you can go back to war as soon as you know that you can win. In other words, the war never ends, and we will not end this war by leaving Iraq. The only way to end this war is to succeed in Iraq, and that will be difficult as all hell. But frankly, George Bush, as little as I admire the man, and I loathe him in many, many ways, one of the things he said from the beginning is this is going to be a war of persistence. This is going to be a war that's going to last a long, long time. Well, wars do last a long time, especially when you're fighting somebody who's been fighting self-consciously for 1,400 years and has won during almost all of those years, with the exception of the last 100, and now wants to make up for that last 100. I mean, George, a couple things we have never discussed. Within something like 40 years of Muhammad's death, this little tribe of flea-bitten nomads that nobody knew came out of the desert and conquered a territory five times the size of the Roman Empire.
Yep.
That territory is the size of seven United States of America, seven of them. And it did this within 40 to 100 years of Muhammad's death. Surely, I mean, how can you explain that unless you use the explanation that God was on their side? Now, I don't believe that God was on their side, not for a minute. But there's good reason for 1.2 billion Muslims in the world to believe that. And they need to get that. I mean, they have that tradition of winning. And as I said, that tradition has lasted most of the last 1,400 years. To them, it's natural that they should get it back. It's natural that we should turn tail and run. It's natural that they should get out of us what they want out of us. And Osama has told us what he wants out of us. And he says, I want one thing from you.
get out.
I want your belief in Allah. I want.
Well, but let me tell you something. In this statement today, he didn't go there.
When he makes this statement sometimes to the Americans, he tries to make, as you've just pointed out very, very wisely, he's playing psychological warfare, and he makes to us the statement that he feels we will believe the most.
Why did he wait a year to come out?
My prediction was that he would wait a long time and play dead. And the prediction was, because I think you and I have discussed this before, when I sat here in this bedroom from which I'm talking to you now, and the World Trade Center was burning outside of my window, I knew that there was something directly parallel between what Osama was doing and what I was doing when I was building the career of Prince. Now, that sounds absurd. What can a rock and roll star have to do with a major world figure?
I was just going to ask you.
Well, they are both building the confidence of the people of the world in what they are doing. They are both attracting the attention in such a way as to hold it, and to hold it vigorously. Now, in Prince's case, Prince used to go on stage. He used to do one of the most ferociously good stage shows you have ever seen in your life. And in the middle of that show, suddenly he would go dead on the floor of the stage. And at first you would think this is a gimmick, this is part of his act. And he still wouldn't move. And you'd wait, and he still wouldn't move. And after a while, you began to lose a sense of this being a concert.
And then it got quiet, didn't it?
It got very quiet. You began to lose this, you know, that sense of being in a personal space just with the artist and having no identity, not being aware of anybody watching you at all that you get in a concert. All that began to dissipate. It began to disappear. And finally, you begin to think, why doesn't somebody call in the medics?
Right. He's sick. Something's happened. He's collapsed.
That's exactly it. And he waited until that moment when suddenly, after you thought he'd lost the audience totally and there was no way in hell he would ever get it back, he jumped back to his feet, and he caught you in a way he never could have caught you if he hadn't taken that risk. And it was my prediction several years ago that Osama would try the very same trick.
I said on this program about a year ago that we need to increase our efforts to find this public enemy number one. And our administration kept saying that he's not as important as the big picture, and he's coming back to haunt us again, Howard.
Well, you know, in a sense, both of you were right. It is extremely important that we get him, because this man is a man whose shadow, whose image, whose icon is going to live with Western civilization for as long as there's a Western civilization. He is building something of historical dimensions, and that is just like Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln's death did not stop Abraham Lincoln's influence. Abraham Lincoln's influence has been growing in the years since Abraham Lincoln's death. And it is absurd and obscene to compare a man like Osama bin Laden with Abraham Lincoln. Yet, but they are both historical figures. And right now, Osama is playing for the larger stage and the larger audience of history. And he's doing a very good job of it. But the real question is he able to bring down Western civilization? Because he says he is.
Is this rhetoric, you know, this getting ready to attack America, you're going to see it. Basically, he's saying you're going to see it on television. You're going to see it in your homes. That's what he means.
Right.
I mean,
yes,
is this...
That's the exact phrase. You're going to see it in your home.
Yep. Is this real, or is it just rhetoric?
We don't know. But one way or the other, he's sure of something that you and I aren't. We are part of a society that is a quarterly profit, short-term exit strategy society that thinks in 4 months and six-month blocks. He is part of a society that has been taught to think in 700-year blocks. It thinks in terms of what I call multi-generational projects. And one of those multi-generational projects is the downfall of Western civilization, and he thinks that is coming very, 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 very fast. Peter Bergen, the expert on Osama, has just come out with a book on Osama and has been doing a lot of interviews. And he says two things in his interviews that just aren't true. He says nowhere in Osama's speeches will you find a criticism of American culture. Nowhere in Osama's speeches will you find a criticism of Madonna. Or will you find a criticism of American freedoms? Well, that is nonsense. Because in Osama's speeches, you find a criticism of America's sexual freedoms, which is what Madonna's career is based on. And you find that to Osama's mind, the ultimate sin is that we have taken upon ourselves the notion that we mere humans, we mere mortals, can make laws, that we mere humans and mere mortals can make constitutions. That is the ultimate sin. It is obscenity beyond belief.
Howard, good analysis. Good analysis. Your website, howardbloom.net. We got to do a full show soon, okay?
Okay. Talk to you soon, George.
Howard Bloom, good analysis into the mind of Osama bin Laden. We've got open lines for you now. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line, 818-501-4721. And the wild card line, 818-501-4109. Well, doctors on the Indian Ocean island of Reunion are battling an epidemic there of a crippling mosquito-borne disease that has no known cure. So far, about 7,200 cases of what they call chikungunya has been recorded, including 1,600 cases last week alone. They said it's a major public health issue. Chikungunya is Swahili for that which bends up and refers to the stooped posture of those afflicted by the non-fatal disease for which there is no known vaccine or cure. Let's hope one of those mosquitoes don't end up on a plane and popping into the United States. Well, Wilson Pickett, the soul pioneer, best known for this fiery hit, Mustang Sally, and also In the Midnight Hour, is dead. He died of a heart attack, according to his management company. He was 64. Pickett had been suffering from health problems the past year. He did his part. It was a great ride, a great trip, they say. I loved him, and I'm sure he was well-loved, and I just hope that he's given his props, said Michael Wilson Pickett, the fourth of the singer's six children. A member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Pickett, known as the Wicked Pickett, became a star with his soulful hits in the 1960s. In the Midnight Hour made the top 25 on the Billboard pop charts in 1965, and Mustang Sally did the same thing the following year. Wilson Pickett, dead at the age of 64. In Baltimore, for the 57th straight year, a mystery man has paid tribute to Edgar Allan Poe by placing roses and a bit of cognac on the writer's grave to mark his birthday. Some of the 25 spectators drawn to a tiny locked graveyard in a downtown Baltimore cemetery for the held climbed over the walls of the site. They were running all over the place trying to find out how the guy who's been doing this gets in. For decades, a very frail figure made the visit to Poe's grave. In 1983, the original visitor left a very cryptic note saying, "The torch has passed." A later note said the man, who apparently died in 1998, had handed the tradition on to his sons. Edgar Allan Poe, who wrote poems and horror stories such as The Raven and The Telltale Heart, died October 7, 1849, in Baltimore at the age of 40. After collapsing in a tavern. A 15-year-old girl was rescued from a car that sank in a harbor in Hawaii, but the passerby who saved her was unable to rescue her grandfather. The teenager managed to call 911 from inside the sinking car. Can you imagine that? This is what she said. "I'm in the car, and I can't open the door, and the water is coming in, and I'm sinking. I don't want to drown. Please hurry." The girl's grandfather, an attorney, was pronounced dead after rescue crews located him in the car. The girl was released from a nearby hospital. The passerby who saved her did not see the car go into the water, but what he did see were bubbles rising in the area, and he jumped in, was able to get her out. A piano-sized spacecraft finally blasted off on a 3 billion-mile journey to study Pluto, the solar system's last unexplored planet, and examine a mysterious zone of icy objects at the outer edge of the planetary system. The New Horizons probe lifted off from Cape Canaveral, quickly reaching speeds as it pushed away from Earth, 36,000 miles an hour, nearly 100 times faster than a jetliner. It was the swiftest spacecraft ever to launch and was expected to reach Earth's moon in just a matter of hours. As a matter of fact, it's probably gone past it already. An online casino has a piece of Captain Kirk. No kidding, actor William Shatner has sold his kidney stone for $25,000, with the money going to a housing charity. Shatner reached agreement Monday to sell the stone to what was called GoldenPalace.com. They're the same ones who bought the partly eaten cheese sandwich thought to contain the image of the Virgin Mary. Now, earlier in the program, I mentioned that we finally made contact with someone who apparently is the attorney for the family of time traveler John Titor. His name is Larry Haber. He has consented to an interview. As a matter of fact, he was thinking of doing it today. The family asked him to hold off for just a few weeks. There is a movie being worked on for John Titor, and they just wanted to hold him off for just a little bit. So we will chat with him in a few weeks and just find out who John Titor is, if he is indeed a time traveler, and what the heck is going on. And I'd like to find out if he was retained by John Titor, who apparently was from 2036, or by the family. We'll find out. We'll get to the bottom of the story. It's a strange one. Back in a moment. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, and to the phones we go. Let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Jorma from Ohio.
Jorma, welcome to the program.
I kind of had a statement question sort of at the same time.
Sure.
About your last guest. He was mentioning about how in those 40 years after Muhammad had died, they conquered all that they had conquered, and they had God on their side. And just kind of a question to the American public and the free world in general is, you know, who do we have on our side with the separation of church and state? You know, your kids can't pray in school or anything, and nobody's teaching them about, you know, anything religious anymore. It's like we're not allowed to be religious almost. Where I work, you know, to speak about religion is one of the things that can get you in trouble.
Yeah, I know. Society has taken a strange twist, hasn't it, when it comes to things like that? And, of course, what happened in what Bloom was mentioning is they believed God was on their side. I'm not necessarily sure God was on their side. It might have been Satan. First-time caller line, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Peggy Alexander from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Peggy. First name, that's all we need. Don't need your last name. People will find you, call you, and harass you.
Oh, no. No, George, I want to tell you about my son who went to Saudi Arabia in 1988 before anything was going on. He went to visit his father, and his car exploded on the freeway. Nothing was done about it. Nothing was said about it. And whenever I talk about it myself, people just stare at me like they don't know what to say.
Well, what did he hit, a roadside bomb?
No, his I don't know. His car was actually rammed into a generator, and they found him at 3 o'clock in the morning because all the electricity in the city went out. I believe Osama bin Laden was in Saudi Arabia the very night that my son was there. My son looked like a big strapping Marine. He had on also, this is very, looking back in retrospect, it's a terrible mistake. He had on a Marine t-shirt that his friend had just given him.
So it sounds like you think he might have been killed, murdered.
I believe he was murdered. And I would like to say anybody in the whole world, if they know anything about this case, to contact you or me, George. This is 17 years my son has been dead. Nobody. Our State Department, the ambassador, nobody would do anything. They said it's out of our hands. It's not in our jurisdiction. My son was an American citizen. He was only 17 and a half years old.
They just washed their hands. And what was your husband doing in Saudi Arabia, if I can ask?
He's from Saudi Arabia.
Oh, he is from Saudi Arabia. Okay.
Yes. All right. And even my husband said he refuses to investigate it because it might cause trouble.
Sad story. Okay, well, if anybody passes on any information, I'm pretty sure they probably don't have any information for you on that case. But if they do, we'll try to get to you, and you can simply just send me an email so we know how to get a hold of you, just in case. You never know. It's a big program. West of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yeah.
Jeff from Cibola, Arizona.
Hello there.
And we're going to persevere. This country is going to have a spiritual rebound. Osama bin Laden is going to get wiped off the map, and we are still a nation of good and there is we have a few aces up our sleeve.
We got, you know what? We got a few aces up our sleeve. We got a few little rotten apples in the bushel, but by and large, you are absolutely right. It's a phenomenal country with well-intentioned people, and I think if caring Americans continue to demonstrate that they do care, in the end, good will beat evil.
Yeah, President Bush is going to shine. There's going to be a rebound on him, too.
Well, he better do something because his popularity is still waning.
If he just gets a little bit more truthful.
Well, tell me. Now you brought up something interesting there because you sound like you're a supporter, but you just said something. You don't believe him?
I am a little skeptical on some of his actions, but...
Have you been a supporter of him?
Neutral.
No, all right.
Mainly.
All right, what has tipped you toward thinking he's not telling us everything or the truth?
With the way our economy and the corporate, this, with the way it's getting smokescreened in Congress. And,
what is?
The issues over in Iraq and Iran.
Well, a lot of Americans feel that way too. I think if people would just tell the truth, a lot of people will accept a lot of things. East of the Rockies, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
How you doing, George?
I'm
Bill from Columbus, Ohio.
Sure.
And I'm talking to you on 610. And first off, I just want to say you guys got a great show. You and all the people there have created just the best show to listen to ever. So,
well, I didn't create it. I merely just ran with what was given to me.
Well, I'm saying on a day-to-day basis, you guys just create a great show.
All right.
To listen to. You got me hooked forever. So
we'll
anyway,
accept that.
I want to make as quick a point as I can, and then I'll get off the air. Your last caller and the caller before the young lady both had good points about, how things are in this country. And your guest definitely made a good point about how the, Muslims have the long-term goal. At least, it's the fanatical ones. Everybody knows that. All the Muslims don't wish us harm. But, having the idea that everyone should abide by God's laws is such a bad thing. I'm not agreeing with how everybody's going about it because look at our government. Most of the people in the government don't care about the people. The ones that do care about the people are the ones who end up getting quashed or something happens, where they end up out of office. It's really corrupt. It's not our fault that, people see us the way they do because we, like he said, we really are good Americans. We want to live good. We want to treat everybody else good, and we hope everybody else can have the same way of life we do. But their long-term goals are just what he said. Your guest said that, they have the long-term goals. When Osama's gone, somebody's going to come and take his place.
What do you think would happen with terrorism, with war, if as a country we simply said to everybody, see ya, we're pulling our troops out, fight your own battles, goodbye, grow your own crops, take care of yourself, we're going to become an isolationist, we're going to watch our borders, we're going to just be our own country and do what we do. What do you think would happen?
I wish it could be that simple, George, but as a nation, we can't be that way because we're preaching, that we want to, that everybody's supposed to help everybody. That's what the good book tells us, We're all supposed to try to help each other, every country, every person, neighbor to neighbor or whatever, So we really can't do that because, in one way, I know we're trying to help as much as we can, but, just really to get down to it, it's all evolved the wrong way. Evolved so corruptly.
Do you sense that something's going to happen soon?
I don't know if I sense something is going to happen soon, but I've always felt like there was going to be major changes in my lifetime, And the problem is the worst part is the children are going to have to deal with it.
Yeah.
They're going to have to
that's
read.
True.
But like they say, the children always suffer the sins of the fathers, and that's the way it's been, from slavery to everything else.
Well, I was talking about Apophis, that asteroid that's going to come this way around 2029. It's going to get very close to the planet. And if there's any kind of gravitational pull at all, that baby's coming this way. And I'm thinking about my three grandchildren, and, they're going to be in their 18, 25 years old. They're going to be here. I don't know if I will be, but they're going to be here when that thing comes around. And that's kind of scary. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. Skip from Pahrump, Nevada.
Hi, Skip.
How you doing? I want to thank you for last night's show. Really good with Alex Jones.
I'll tell you what, you got to hold him back, but I was getting blisters holding him back so much.
I can't get enough of Alex Jones. Great show. I got a comment on Iran. I served during the Iranian hostage crisis at a very large nuclear strike base in the United States.
All right.
I ran flight simulators for the Air Force. Very interesting job, and I saw a lot of things happen on a daily basis. Recently, in the Las Vegas Review-Journal, they had an article about the capabilities of Iran and how they have everything spread out all over the country, above ground, below ground.
True.
And basically, everybody thinks, well, Israel can just go in and take it out. I do not believe they possess the capability to do that. And I do not believe that we possess the capability to do it without resorting to nuclear weapons.
Well, I think in a technological battle, eventually we would beat anybody. The question is what are we prepared to give up? What are we prepared to lose to get that advantage? Iran, for example, has a number of what they call their Shahab missiles that have capability of going 1,200 miles. They can hit Israel, and they can hit many of the troops that we have scattered around the Middle East. I don't know if they have or possess any real firepower beyond that. But you're right. They are spread out. They're spread out all over the place. And I don't know. You know, if you were running the country of Iran for a moment, and in the United Nations, NATO, somebody took out a couple of your up-and-coming nuclear power plants, would you retaliate if you had missiles, or would you just sit back and say, well, they hit us?
Well, they will retaliate, but don't forget, they've technically been at war with us since 79.
True.
They've been put a lot of thought into this. This is not something that one guy showed up one day and said, hey, let's do this. This has been going on since 79. And we really should have taken care of it then.
Well, we should have taken care of a lot of things then.
Yeah, that's,
you know, we should have taken care of that. We should have taken care of Saddam Hussein during the first Gulf War.
Well, I got to say, I personally believe these boobs running this country right now are the most incompetent, crooked people that have ever taken control of the White House and are really putting this country in the wrong direction.
Let me ask you this, and be very fair. Were you a supporter of this administration during its first election?
Absolutely not.
You were not. Okay.
No. Well, right. Here's a comment I've heard over and over.
Because this country's divided. It's divided.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's you have two draft dodging oil boys running the country, and everybody goes, "Gee, why is oil so high and the war so messed up?" That's my only comment on that. I also believe that Bin Laden is hiding in Iran. Don't forget that. A couple of years ago, they said they had his son and a whole band of Al-Qaeda. Now, are they over there having tea, or are they hanging on hooks?
Yeah. What do you think? Thanks. Appreciate it. Time for one more quick call. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Ed, calling from South Georgia.
Yeah. I only got about a minute, sir. Go ahead.
I was with SEAL Team 4 and with a CIA operative unit, and we personally helped train Osama bin Laden and his boys how to use the Stinger missiles.
Oh, during the Afghan battle, yeah, to get the Soviets out.
During the Afghan conflict. And I believe that's probably what the next thing will be, you know, since it was with using the airplanes as missiles to go into the World Trade Center, I believe the next thing will be using the Stinger missiles. Now, they said that, not to worry about it, the batteries are probably dead. Basically, all that runs the things are like a 9-volt battery for a radio anyway.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. You know, bin Laden was in this country, too, when that training was being done.
Oh, yeah. And well, we were in Afghanistan. I stood within 6 feet of him and, you know, right next to him.
Did you talk to him?
Oh, man, we were buddy buddies with him.
He's 6'5", isn't he?
Oh, he's a big guy.
What did you think of him?
Well, I'm a pretty good-sized fellow myself, but he was very, very amicable, you know. If you'd think he would have been our buddy from then on, but
strange.
It's really strange the way things go. If I had to have my guess on what was going to take place next, I would say there was, going back to Flight 800, everybody that, what, there was 200 something witnesses that saw missiles going up to the plane.
They saw something going up. Thanks, we got to run. That's another story down the line. We've done that before. We'll probably do it again. I'm George Norrie. We get back into a coast-to-coast format in just a moment with our guest Ryan Wood. Magic, Eyes Only, Earth's Encounters with Extraterrestrial Technology. Tonight, we've got a little bit of everything for everyone.